The scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. Would you please open your Bibles and follow along with me as I read these verses. The parable of the talents. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one, he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more. So also he who had the two talents made two talents more. But he who had received the one talent, went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here I have made five talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the two talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here I have made two talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away and cast in to the worthless, cast the worthless servant into the utter darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word of the Lord.
Well, though Pastor Tyler didn't know it, this morning's message is really a continuation of his message last week on stewards of God's grace. Which, interestingly enough, I have been working on for some time, and he really didn't know it was coming. In fact, he even read this passage of Scripture last week, unaware of where I was going. But this morning, I want to direct your attention and look at this passage of Scripture called the Parable of the Talents. Now, I'm going to be frightfully honest with you this morning, and some of you may wish that you weren't here, because you may be losing some of the defense excuses that you have been using for your inactivity when it comes to the service of the Lord. As we look at this parable, Jesus tells a story of three servants that come, and they received a significant amount of money, and occasionally that happens. when people run into a significant amount of unexpected cash. You may be familiar with a comedian by the name of Jeff Foxworthy, who has the line, "You know you're a redneck when." And one of his lines is, "You know you're a redneck when you're counting on the lottery for your retirement package." And some people do come into a significant amount of money, though the chances of doing it that way is extremely slim. But there are other ways that we can step into unexpected money: insurance, inheritance, or even forgotten benefits. I had a good friend who was living on a very limited income with limited resources, and he stepped into a fairly significant amount of money, or at least for him. And it was scary how quick he seemed to blow through that. Well, as I would direct your attention to Matthew 25, let me lead us in prayer. Lord, thank you that your word is powerful. It is even sharp. It communicates to us what we need to hear from you. Lord God, I pray that I would just be the messenger, that the message would speak to us in a fashion that would call us to response. We pray these things in the wonderful name of your Son, our Savior. Amen. So the first thing I want to draw your attention to is an opportunity offered. The landowner was going to go on a trip, and he called three servants to meet with him, and there he entrusted them with a portion of his resources. It seems clear as we heard the parable that they understood that he was going to be returning. And each were given a predetermined amount according to each ability. And he gave one servant 5 talents, he gave another servant 2 talents, and the third servant 1 talent. And that doesn't really sound like a whole lot, but let's convert it into contemporary thinking. You see, a talent is the equivalent of 15 years' wages. So according to Google, the average income for a Canadian worker is $50,000 a year. And applying that times 15, a talent would then be worth $750,000. Well, the servant who received 5 talents, in our thinking, in applicable today, would have received $3,750,000. The person who received 2 talents would have received $1.5 million. And the one who received 1 talent, the $750,000. Something else that I think it would be helpful for us to appreciate: it would seem people living during this time didn't live from paycheck to paycheck as many who do today, but they would have been living from day to day. I got that from the parable of the laborers of the vineyard in Matthew 20, where the owner went out and hired various people, laborers, along the day, and they received their wages at the conclusion of the day. If this is an accurate understanding, then it is likely very few laborers had much in reserve. And here these servants were receiving 45, 30, and 15 years worth of wages, respectively, at one time. This is an unbelievable opportunity. It's an unperceived amount for these laborers, an amazing act of trust and generosity. So you can understand why I entitled this message, The Chance of a Lifetime. It's an amazing opportunity to be given such a chance. Such an opportunity ought not to be taken lightly. And the first servant realizes he is getting an unbelievable opportunity. This may explain why it's in the interesting detail in the story. Jesus describes his actions as he who received the 5 talents went at once. At once is not so much a reference to chronological time as the realization of a true opportunity that was given to him, and he responds to it by getting to work. Not letting anything distract him from the opportunity that he has before him. At this point, nothing is said about the servant who received 2 talents, 30 years of wages. But the third servant who received 15 years of wages, it says in verse 18, took that and buried it in a field. As far as understanding and personalizing this story, it seems clear that God is represented as the landowner and the giver of the gifts. And each of these servants were given a gift. It does not mention any other servants who did not receive anything. That is just silent. But to each whom he called, he gave a gift. This is clearly enforced in other portions of Scripture. By Paul in 1 Corinthians 7:7, each has been given his own gift from God. Also, Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:7, grace is given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And the passage of Scripture that Pastor Tyler drew our attention to or preached from last week in 1 Peter 4, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So not only does everyone have received a gift, it was a chosen gift from the Master. And so sometimes we think, but I don't like my gift. And that is a perplexing question, because this was a decision. This was a choice made by the Master. Honestly, such a question seems incomprehensible to me. God knows us, and he knows all about us uniquely. He has equipped us to serve him. He has gifted us to honor and live for him. How can we question his graciousness to us? Moving on in the parable, there's a call to account. Somehow, the third servant neglected a very important aspect of the gift, that the Master was coming back. It says in verse 19 of Matthew 25, now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. There's a strange thinking in many of us that we would think that we could possibly charm or reason or argue our way out of any consequences for our actions. Have you ever tried to explain why your homework was not done on the due date? Or why a police officer should not give you a ticket for the violation that you had committed? Let me give you an example that has happened in our family in recent weeks. Many of you know that we recently became grandparents for the 4th time. The envy of many of you ladies in that our daughter-in-law delivers very quickly. And her water broke before she was even in labor, and they decided that they should act. And in the process, it became very apparent to our son that he needed to get there more in a hurry than not. And en route to the hospital, they were 20 minutes away, and en route to the hospital, coming upon a set of traffic lights, it turned yellow. And he conscientiously blew through that, only to see in his rearview mirror a flash. Well, he had been expecting to be contacted by the Edmonton police for a few weeks, and he did get that contact. And he received a ticket that he was going over this prescribed limit, or the allowed limit, and he was going 18 kilometers over the speed limit, accompanied with an opportunity for him to pay that off, which was going to be $150. Well, he thought some pretty justifiable reason for his action. And the ticket that he got said that this infraction took place at 11:15 p.m. He's got a certificate from the hospital that his baby girl was born at 11:57 p.m. And so there was 42 minutes between the ticket and the birth of his daughter. And so he has plans to go and challenge this with having both of those pieces of paper. I found it interesting that my wife's suggestion was to take his daughter with him. But that's not the end of the story, because they were having the use of a midwife, and she got the call that things were happening, and so she was making her way to the hospital as well. And she got hung up in a traffic accident that she wasn't involved in, but she was delayed in. And as she went through the very same intersection, she saw a flash in her mirror. And we don't know what's going to happen with that. There is one to whom we will all stand. He is loving, holy, gracious, and just. And we will come before him and give account for our lives. And we will not be able to finesse our way around with our excuses, no matter how good we think that they are. Oh, I didn't have the time or opportunity, or I'm just not good enough. I am not spiritually mature enough to do what you had asked me to do. No one was willing to come alongside me and mentor me or walk with me through this. My spouse was just not interested in going there or doing that. I needed to provide for my family, my retirement, my goals. You and I have been entrusted with a gift, an opportunity to live for him, to serve him, to glorify him, to honor him. And from our perspective, it may not look like much, but it's ours. And he has given it to us. And the Master is coming back, and he's going to want to hear what we have done with our gift. He will not ask our boss, or our spouse, or our friends, or our pastor. He will ask us. A performance review is coming, which will dwarf any performance view we have ever had. It is interesting that Jesus told this parable, and he mentioned there were three servants. usually stories that address a matter of pleasing the Lord or not pleasing the Lord only have two characters. This one has three. The wise and the foolish builder, there's only two. The tax collector and the Pharisee, there is only two, the right and the wrong. The two debtors that were forgiven the debt, there's only two. But here we have three characters. Why do you suppose? Though each received a different amount, the amount is not the critical thing. The first servant received much more, a much larger gift than the second. But the master responds to them both in the exact same way. It didn't matter. It doesn't matter if we are a five-talent individual or a two-talent individual or a one-talent individual. It's what we do with that talent that counts. So we must be ruthless in refusing to compare our talents with anybody else's talents. We can't compare what we are able to do or what we are gifted to do or what we have strength to do with anybody else. Comparison will lead to pride and envy, a sense of superiority and misery. Have you been comparing your gifts, your talents, your life with others? Don't. God knows you. He knows what He has given you. He knows what you are capable of. And He has expectations of you. And the Lord of the gift is very wise. He knew exactly what He was doing when He created and called you. He has entrusted you with everything you need to fulfill His plan and His purpose for you. And at the end of the day, He will not ask, "Why didn't you lead somebody else's life or invest in other gifts?" He won't ask us why we didn't do what we weren't entrusted with from Him. So comparison is not an adequate excuse for not using our gift. And when the master comes to settle the account with the third servant, the servant gave a very interesting response. "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you gathered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." And folks, sadly, fear makes many of us bury our treasures, bury our gifts, bury our opportunities that God gives to us to serve Him. In Scripture, when God called Moses, Gideon, and Esther to do something great for Him, their common response was fear. What we see in this parable is what God has entrusted to us, our lives, our abilities, our giftings, is important to God, and He expects us to use them for His glory and His purposes. And fear will not be an adequate or an acceptable excuse. One of the most sobering aspects of this parable is the servant was not judged for doing bad, he was judged for doing nothing. One other thing I want to draw to your attention. The master of the gifts And the master of the settled accounts is also the master of the rewards. He has wonderful things in store for those who are good stewards of what he has entrusted to us. So the third point, receiving our reward. To the good servants, some of the things that the master says to him, we kind of expect. Well done, good and faithful servant. Imagine hearing those words from Almighty God. Well done. Well done. He also says, welcome into the joy of your master. What an absolute delightful expectation of what he has for us. That we are going to be welcomed into his presence and into his joy. But he does say some things that we might not have expected. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. And two things I want to draw to your attention here. You have been faithful over a little. I guess maybe it's a perspective, it's a position of perspective or a matter of perspective. But for most of us, $3,750,000 is not a little. Or even $1.5 million is not a little. And probably for most of us, $750,000 unexpectedly is not a little. But the master identifies this as a little. You have been faithful in little things, in a few things. He also identifies, I will set you over much. And that raises some questions concerning what we anticipate or expect. Many people have this notion that when we get to heaven, we will be floating around on clouds and singing and playing various instruments. And for some, that may sound like heaven, but maybe not for all of us. But that's not what we see here. The time for you to get to the real work has yet to begun. I've entrusted you with a little. Now I will entrust you with much. From what we gather from this parable, heaven is not anything like an eternal retirement village, but where we can expect to experience the fulfilling adventure, creativity, and the fullness for which we were made for. What has the Lord given to you? What is it that you can invest into the kingdom of God? You may feel, from a human perspective, that what you have to offer wouldn't account for much. But folks, if you're thinking that way, you are so wrong. Do you remember what Jesus did with a little boy's lunch? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he fed over 5,000 men with leftovers. Do you remember how he declared as a poor widowed woman offered her offering pennies, and how he acknowledged that that was worth more than anybody else had offered in their gift? Do you remember how the Lord took a stuttering fugitive named Moses to defy the world power and to lead a nation out of slavery. Can you appreciate how Jesus took 12 uneducated men and turned the known world upside down, making no small stir? He can take you and what you have to offer and make a difference for all eternity. And it won't be according to our perspective or how we would judge or we would anticipate or what we would dream. But just be used of the Lord as we enjoy being in the palm of His hand. We have no idea what our potential is. May we live in such a fashion that it would be evident to our Heavenly Father that we long to hear those words, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done." I've asked a team if they would sing a song for us that focuses on that phrase, "well done." And in that song, there is two lines that really challenged and blessed me. One of them is, "I'm waiting my whole life for that day. I will live my life to hear you say, well done." Let me lead in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are humbled by the realization of the privilege that we have to serve you. And as you have so uniquely equipped us, Lord, may we be found faithful in your sight. May we recognize that our life is not ours to live, but we have been called to live for you. And so, Father, we pray that we might live in a faithful obedience to you, to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.